Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit present with us today. Amen. This is the cross wall in my office. There are 37 or something like that all told in my office, and one that I purchased of those 37. Or rather, this was the cross wall in my office. It looks like this now. There's one that I left in there. I can't quite get to the same place with it as everything else. My daughter made it for us the first year we lived here in South Dakota and gave it to me as a birthday present. And so one remains on the wall there in my office. I'm going to invite you today to help yourself to one of those crosses, to take it home with you and to join me in prayer and care for me and for Spirit of Joy. And so I want to show you a few of them and talk a little about them. Do you recognize that weave on this one? This is from John Nordley, the J.F. Nordley Organ Company here in Sioux Falls, who built for us all of our worship space furniture. His dad built the organ at Augustana, and they together have built something like 70 or 80 around the world. And this was a gift from him to me when I came here to Spirit of Joy and made that move. This is the one I bought. This is a fun story. This little Guatemalan Jesus that's on this crucifix. I visited there as part of seminary in January of 2005. My cross-cultural immersion experience was 28 days there. And I went to an artisan's home, dirt floor in the living room, chickens living in the house. The workshop was just wide enough that I could squeeze sideways between the workbench and the wall and get in there. And I left for him, I'm going to say the number, I left $300 for him for this little guy. And I realized after first service, I've done a little math, I realized just how long that I waited. I graduated seminary in May of 2007. Moved to Washington State and began my first call on September 1 of 2007. Lived in an apartment, a rental home, and a rental home, and bought our first house in 2010. A few months after that, then Dean of Students at Luther Seminary and now Bishop of the St. Paul Synod, Patricia Lowell, knocked on my door. It was a strange thing to see this person, and she had in her hand a box. On her way to Holden Village, driving across the country, she'd driven 70 miles out of her way and brought to me, 5 years later, this cross. I had assumed that I had just gifted a family in need those dollars and not worried about it, forgotten about it, quite honestly. This was a gift when I left that first congregation after just 10 years. The man who made it, actually another was made almost identical to it, smaller. They hadn't spoken to each other, and both of them made a cross in the same design. This was a mentor of mine. He'd been a team lead at Lockheed Martin and was the CEO of Hughescraft Marine. If you go to northern Minnesota or Canada on a fishing trip, it's very likely that you have ridden in one of his boats there. I love this and the other in conjunction with each other, because the guy who made the little smaller, his family had raised him at Holden Village, and he was a bit wild. Big unkempt beard, dirt under his fingernails, the kind of guy who showed up for everything. And I loved having the juxtaposition of these nearly identical crosses, one next to the other. this little guy is just a store-bought something, but it was given to me by a grandmother who was raising her grandson. Her daughter-in-law had died very tragically, and her son, in his struggle with that, in his grief, had fallen into a life of addiction and struggles with mental illness, etc. And she, in her late 60s, was raising a little one who was 5 or 6 and really wrestling and working hard with that, and had never been a churchgoer before that had happened in her life, and ended up beginning a ministry that was yard signs all over our beautiful city, messages of hope in 2020. In fact, it was picked up by our local news stations, etc. Just reminders that this too will pass. My father-in-law brought this back from Tanzania, just a gift among many. We have an identical match to it in our house at home, but many of you know him from woodworking and choir, etc., from here. My incredible oldest sister, that person who in my world, when I'm in trouble, I call, she got me this. It was the anchor in my first office for the larger collection, and that just a store-bought something, but again, the person from whom it came. This was a gift from the leadership team when I was installed as lead pastor here. And then this painting, remember the guy who was raised at Holden Village? This was by his mom. And her husband had designed the water system that just got replaced a few years ago. If you're paying attention to Holden Village, you will remember that they had to replace all of that. And this is a person who walked from Canada into the United States as a young girl. No citizenship papers, no, you know, border crossing, anything else. She just walked into our United States and gave this gift. She had taught confirmation in the congregation and used this for years and years to talk about all of the different crosses and their meanings. And so I used it for about 10 years or so, teaching confirmation and doing that. And it was is beautifully, beautifully framed there. And then there's this one that's the curiosity, the mystery. This arrived in my office about 2 months ago. Set on the table when I was out with no note, no claim, no attachment. And so it never hung on the wall because I wanted to know from whom it came. Didn't I? I'll have to go back. Which of you brought this? Creation care team members loved it because it looks to be so many reused materials. It's a collection, and I don't do collections. But I realized this week as somebody came into my office and commented on how beautiful they are beautiful. That for me, they had become the stones of the temple, the beautiful things that distracted me from what they really meant and what they were most about. I was proud of the art and the way that they looked in the room. And I had lost some of what they meant. A cross is a symbol. And no matter how beautiful we make it, it is a reminder of a God who chose weakness and vulnerability from which to offer to each and every one power that looks like grace and love. So a little confession. Anybody know Clifton Strength Finders? If you live in the corporate world, you may have spent some time doing this. If you do Enneagram or Myers-Briggs or other things. This kind of falls in line with that. We did this, I think it was February of this last year, as a staff. Everybody looked at it together, took the test, and I had a friend from Bird Dog Hospitality come and talk about how we as a staff fit together. My highest gift is woo. I like you, and I really want you to like me. Seems about right, doesn't it? I often say I could sell any used car. None of those is a problem until they're a problem. In my world, when I am my least healthy self, those three get out of whack. I forget what it is that we're really doing here and why it is that we exist as a community. And I get really mired in details, and I can tell you a lot of them. We have 48 new partners this year. We've grown almost 25% since 2021. Our income in the last 2 years has set records in every one, including we're on track this year for about $760,000, which is more than $100,000 in growth. I can tell you about the mortgage and how every year we have made additional payments on principal. I can tell you we're the seventh largest congregation in the South Dakota Synod of the ELCA. Who cares? Does it matter? When I get into my worst places, that's all that I notice. Those are side effects. At least they ought to be. Those are side effects of faithfulness, of being able to look past the beautiful stones to the center of what really matters. In our gospel, Jesus has spent the last couple of chapters ministering in Jerusalem, in conversation, not really arguments, but conversation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians and the temple leaders. Just before what we read today, he'd watched people give huge sums to the treasury and pray out loud in a visible way. And then he'd watched as a woman who had her last two coins came and put her trust in God. And he, to his disciples, had said, that trust, that faith, that generosity. And immediately, walking out from that courtyard, his disciples had turned around and let the worst of themselves come out. We do this, don't we? I do this. Look at the shiny thing. See how big it is, Jesus. Isn't it amazing? The stones don't matter. The things that draw our eye away from that center don't matter. What matters, Jesus says in that moment and again through our gospels and through Paul's writing, is faithfulness. Faithfulness to God in the little things. Faithfulness, along with joy and gentleness, the gifts that have been given to each and every one. I lose track of that. I hurt people along the way when I do that. And I disappoint myself. My invitation to you this morning is, after worship, to come join me at the table up here and to take home for yourself an invitation to prayer, an invitation to care. For me, for each other. that we will keep the central things central. That as we go forward in mission and ministry, we will not make the same mistakes the disciples made, that I make all the time. But that we will come back to faithfulness, to generosity, to grace, to mercy, to love, one for another. I'll tell you the story. You'll know exactly where your gift came from. And I hope you'll take it as a reminder to look past the big buildings, the beautiful stones and all that might draw your attention away, and to look instead to the God who died on that cross for us. Amen.